It's time now for Community Circle, circling the things that matter for you and your neighbors. Community Circle is a service of Sierra H Broadcasting.
Hello and welcome to Community Circle. I am your host, Philip Amerine, and we are so lucky to be joined today with someone who is trying to help foster children from bad situations to loving families. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us which organization you're with?
First of all, thank you for having me. I'm Julie Turco with ASK. ASK is Aid to Adoption of Special Kids, and I am the Development Director.
So I guess let's start off right there, right? What is ASK?
Sure. So the purpose of our organization is to provide relationships for children in foster care, which means that we connect children with foster families, with adoptive families. We work a lot with kinship families who care for the children of relatives.
If something happens to them where they can no longer take care of the child and somebody can step in, you guys help them get through that process?
Right. So actually, the state of Arizona, when they bring children into foster care, they really do look for a relative first to place a child with so that that child can have some consistency and not be necessarily matched with family who to them are strangers. So right now, about 45% of the children in Arizona's foster care system are actually placed with kinship families.
Wow, that's actually really impressive. I'm not sure how much common knowledge that is, but that's really impressive in a good way. Where would you say that the need to found ASK came from?
Originally, ASK was, it's kind of contained in our name. Aid to Adoption of Special Kids meant that we were founded trying to find families for children with complex medical needs, developmental delays, and disabilities. Mm-hmm. And we continue those programs to this day. We still offer specialized training for specialized medical foster families and families who care for children with special needs. We've expanded our definition of special need actually to include any child in foster care. So we're not just doing specialized medical foster care services anymore, but we actually will try to find families for any child in care.
Going to specifically disabilities, do you find that it's harder to either just in some way take care of children with special needs or find families or even foster families?
I think in some families, it's really a calling. And often it's a family that might have experience raising their own child with special needs that gives them the experience and the confidence to be able to care for a more medically complex child.
So maybe somebody already with knowledge, looking how big of an impact it's made in their life, adding somebody else into the fold.
That's right. And of course, as you can imagine, children come into foster care with such a wide range of needs. So you might have a child on the autism spectrum who still is able to go to school and socialize normally with his or her peers. And so it helps to have a family that has a deep understanding of autism, but they won't necessarily face the same types of challenges, for example, as a child with cerebral palsy who is confined to a wheelchair and is requiring a different level of care. So as with any relationship, we try to come up with the best match. So whatever types of children families feel they will be most successful parenting, that's actually a really important part of our process in getting to know a family so that when children come into care, we can try to find the best family for each individual child.
So where does ASK's specific vetting process take over from, let's say, the government's, foster care? Where is that delineation?
That's actually a great question because people don't necessarily understand. They know that DCS, Arizona Department of Child Safety, is a state organization, but what does an organization like ASK really do?
Right.
So in a sense, we're sort of a subcontractor. We're sort of a system partner. We are licensed by the Department of Child Safety to recruit, train, license, and support foster and adoptive families.
Okay.
So if you think of it in terms of matchmaking, the state actually is the decider for each child's case plan. They are the legal guardian of every child in the foster care system, and they're responsible for where a child is placed, how long they are placed there, and whether or not they will be returning anytime soon to their biological families. An agency like ASK works on the family side. So we are trying to get as many families interested as possible in providing foster care. So again, we're prepared when children come into the system to have families ready and waiting to give a safe and secure home.
So where does the government go to ask you guys, or do you guys seek out children? How do you guys get because you said you're looking for new families.
How do we make the match?
Right. How do you get there? Right.
Sure. So we, along with the other foster care agencies in Maricopa County, send DCS kind of a list of all of our families and the number of beds they have available. And we, conversely, get notified when children come into care and DCS is looking for homes. And so there's a whole kind of matchmaking communication system set up between DCS and the agencies to be able to find placement for children. And whenever possible, in family homes, as opposed to group homes and shelters or what we consider to be less desirable placement options.
And how hard is that matchmaking process? Because I'm sure what one family would provide is better than what another would to a specific child. I know everybody thinks that their family is perfect whenever they're growing up, but how do you, as a overseer, deem what this child needs?
So we start, because we're working more on the family side, we start with working and understanding what that family sees as their strengths and preferences and what they're able to provide in their family home. Some restrictions are simply space. A family will only have a limited number of rooms with a limited number of beds and bedrooms. So, you know, that's a physical restriction on how many children, for example, that
family
maybe
might
have.
Not a group of three brothers or sisters or something.
That's right. They might not be able to take a bigger sibling group, but they might be perfect for one or two children.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's probably, you know, one of the more shallow criteria.
Yeah.
We also get into, of course, what age, what gender, are you open to sibling groups? Are you open to teenagers? You know, what we really try to do with all of our families is to get them to sort of think outside the box as well to meet the actual needs of the children in care, as opposed to a family kind of sitting and thinking, oh, this type of child would be perfect to fit our family. Really, foster care is the other way around. It's about a family meeting the needs of that child where that child is. So it's getting a family to think about, oh, I never realized that there are so many teenagers that need a home. There are so many boys as opposed to girls that need a home. Sometimes families have biases that make them prefer certain groups of children over others. And so we really try to open everybody up to the possibility that they may not have met their perfect child. And, you know, it's not really about meeting the family's needs so much as the family meeting the child's needs.
So then what is the difference between an adoptive parent versus a foster family versus being a mentor? Because I even saw that you guys have a mentorship program.
That's right. We match mentors in one-on-one relationships with children who are placed in group homes and shelters. It's a great question because sometimes people hear, for example, that we have over 17,000 children in foster care. That must mean we need adoptive families for 17,000 kids. And the reality is that that's not actually the case. 70% of those kids are actually either going to be returned to their birth family or they're going to be adopted by a relative.
They just need a somewhat placeholder.
That's right.
For lack of a better term.
So their time in foster care is not into the indefinite future. It is allowing their biological family perhaps to overcome the obstacles and challenges that brought them into foster care in the first place. Or an adoption by a relative might go a little bit more quickly because, you know, birth mom and dad understand that, well, maybe grandma should be the right person taking care of this child while they, again, overcome whatever challenges they're facing. So every child in foster care needs a foster family, but not every child in foster care is going to need an adoptive family. And so we need foster families from every conceivable background, every ethnic group, every, you know, social strata, every, because that's really where children in foster care come from. They come from every neighborhood, every community. And we provide services in Maricopa County and parts of Pinal County. And so we're very familiar, obviously, with the Valley and all the neighborhoods here.
Right.
And we need families from all over the Valley in order to care for those children because it's happening in your neighborhood, whether you realize it or not.
And we have a very large Hispanic listener and audience here at CRH Broadcasting. And I can only imagine it must be somewhat of a need for you guys to have Spanish-speaking families for a lot of your children, I'm sure.
Absolutely. In fact, we have a program called Todos los Niños that is set up specifically to help preserve language and culture for children who come from a Hispanic or Latino background and to match those children with a foster family or an adoptive family of similar heritage. So that's really important to us. You know, we don't want children coming into foster care to not only lose their families, but to lose everything that's important to them.
Right.
And so, you know, we're not trying to change children into
some sort of perfect being or something
that's
outside
right.
of the
Again,
original.
Again, it's
image.
Meeting children where they are. You know, if they're bilingual, we want them to continue to be bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to force a choice between one language or another. And so we do offer, obviously, all of our services as well to families who might be bilingual themselves. And
right.
so in order to provide what we consider to be, you know, culturally sensitive and relationship-preserving services, we always have to look at, again, the needs of that particular child.
So there's the foster side of it. What about the adoptive parent, just a straight-up adoptive parent?
Right. So for families who are only interested in adoption, sometimes we have to break the news to them that they might be in for a bit of a wait, because a lot of times adoptive families might be looking for an infant or looking for a younger child, feeling like they can have perhaps the most positive influence over the longest period of time with a younger child. They're not necessarily thinking about, you know, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old who might also need a family. The problem is that so are all the other adoptive families thinking perhaps along those lines. And so if they're looking for an infant born with no medical needs, no issues, they might be in for a long wait. It's not like private adoption where there is kind of an active matchmaking between children who are available and families looking for a child. With foster care, there's always the possibility that biological family will be getting that child back or a closer relative will be given preference, because that preserves that child's relationships, and relationships are really everything. So really only 3% of children exit the foster care system being adopted by a family that they have no prior relationship with.
Wow, that's really small.
That statistic, right, that statistic shocks a lot of people, because they think, oh, well, is there anything I can do about that? And what we would say is we'd suggest maybe fostering first. If you are able to participate as a foster parent, it's very likely that one or more of the children who come into your care will eventually become available for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, as a foster parent, you really don't know how long that child will be with you. You don't know how the situation will resolve. You don't know if that child will go back to biofamily. And so as a foster parent, you always have to be prepared to help that child with their transitions, regardless of what they are. Like, we don't make the decision. Ask as an agency doesn't make those decisions. The foster family doesn't make those decisions. It's really about the state workers working on behalf of those children. They decide how long it's in that child's best interest to stay with a foster family, or whether or not that child ever becomes available for adoption at all.
So that would probably be why a lot of parents and prospective families choose to foster, because they're looking maybe at a route to foster, hoping to adopt maybe? Is that what a lot of them choose for that option?
Some people definitely come to us thinking adoption only at first, but when they learn more about the needs of children in care, they might be inspired to open their homes to the really unique role that foster parents play. Namely, I'm going to open my heart and open my home to these children and develop a warm, attached, loving relationship with them for as long as I am needed. And then if the day comes when those children leave my home, I want to help them manage that transition without clinging onto them and saying, oh no, I love you now, you can't go. Because foster parents actually play the beautiful role of allowing those children to go to perhaps back to their families, or perhaps to their forever families that have adopted them after the fact. So foster families, I think, do an extraordinary service in a way that emotionally must be very difficult sometimes.
I'm sure. It sounds almost like the role of a guardian angel almost. And I don't mean to wax poetic about it, but I think it's very easy to empathize with that role of putting your full investment and love and resources into a child only to see them go back to maybe, you know, a family member that has a more, what is it, a natural patriarchal attachment.
They have that parent connection.
Yeah. And then finally, mentorship. Let's go down that final route. So what is that that delineates that from just adopting and versus foster?
So the ASK mentoring program has a specific focus, not just on children in foster care, but on children who are placed in group homes and shelters rather than placed in foster family homes. So about 10% of children in the foster care system are placed in more institutional type care. So group homes and shelters are sort of a long-term placement option for usually teenagers. Sometimes younger kids do end up there, but usually it's older kids. You know, they're segregated by age and by gender. They're often separated from their siblings. And there just isn't anybody in those children's lives who isn't paid to take care of them. And that might seem like a weird distinction, but kids actually get very sensitive about things like that. Like, hey, there's nobody in my life who just wants to be here, who cares just about me. And so we really try to have mentors come into that child's life and provide unconditional love and support and guidance, get them out of the group home, spend time together, and really build a trusting, loving relationship. It's a little bit different than a parent relationship. It's just more like an extended family member, an older brother or sister, or somebody who really wants to look out for that child and help them on their journey to empower that child to be able to form positive relationships and maybe pursue their dreams or believe in themselves enough to create a more positive future for themselves than what they've experienced in their past.
It's almost like a big brother, big sister kind of feel to it, almost.
It's a good question. So big brother, big sister might be a mentor for a child who is still living with at least one parent.
Mm.
Not always, but that's often the case.
Right.
For our kids in the Ask Mentoring program, these kids really don't have anybody. They're still surrounded, you know, they go to school like other kids. So they've got teachers, they've got coaches, they've got group home staff that takes care of them. But what they don't really have is family. And so we want that mentor to kind of step in and become that extended family member.
What are some of the ways that people can help outside of becoming foster parents? I know that, like you said, there's a huge need for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm just somebody who is just not capable of that, how do they help ask?
Right. We have lots of ways to get involved. And actually, mentoring is one of the best volunteer opportunities that we have. It's not as big a time commitment as people might think. Of course, that's up to the mentor and the mentee quite often, how much time they spend together. But we ask mentors to commit at least 1 year of their lives to the mentor-mentee relationship. We would love for mentors and mentees to get together in person at least twice a month and keep in touch in between meetings. What we want is not necessarily mentors and mentees to spend 24/7 together. What we really want is a consistent and stable, caring relationship in that child's life, which means if I'm seeing you this month, I'm also going to see you next month, and I'm going to see you the month after that and the month after that. And just building that trust and consistency into that mentee relationship helps mentors to be there for those kids if and when, you know, they need support from someone in their lives. And I have to say, there isn't a kid that I know in or out of foster care that doesn't need somebody like that in their lives. So mentoring is a great way to get involved. That's a little bit less of a life-altering commitment than being a foster family.
Right.
We also do have a sibling program, which actually reunites brothers and sisters that have been placed apart from each other in foster care. And so what we do is host monthly events for brothers and sisters to be able to come together and just spend quality time together as family, just to be kids together. You know, so we'll take them bowling. We'll go to the pumpkin patch in the fall, you know, have a holiday party around the holidays. You know, it's just an opportunity for these kids to get more time together than just a visit in a social worker's office for, you know, an hour a month on court-ordered visits. You know, we really want them to be kids. And then the capstone of that program is actually a week of sibling summer camp that's coming up in June. It's very exciting. We don't, you know, counselors get recruited in January, so we don't have openings for counselors now. But the idea is that almost 100 brothers and sisters come together for a week of camp at Camp Tantazona in Payson. And they spend the whole week together. They have all their activities together. They eat their meals together. They spend all that time together so that they can really reconnect with one of the most important people in their lives, which is a brother or a sister.
And how common is that they get separated? Because I'm sure throughout all the steps down of going through the system as a child, they really hold an impetus to try and keep those families together. But how often is it that they get separated?
Right. Probably more often than you might think.
Oh.
National studies show that 75% of the time, a child who has a brother or sister mm-hmm. is separated from at least one or more of their siblings. And so, of course, not every foster child has a sibling, but if you have a sibling,
right.
the odds are about 75% of the time children do get separated from at least one. And part of it is just an unintended consequence of foster care. If you already have a shortage of families, and we don't necessarily have a family for every child at this point, hence the group homes and shelters. If you already have a shortage of families, then you definitely have a shortage of families that can take in 3, 4, 5 children in a sibling group. So So the odds are good that those kids are going to be split up somewhere.
And especially if they're at different varying ages, if there's a baby and then, you know, a toddler and so on and so forth, that
right.
I'm sure that that's very hard to place them all together.
And sometimes it's appropriate to separate siblings. For example, if a home has been very neglectful of the children, sometimes the oldest child gets put in charge of all the younger children and so starts being a parent, even though they're still a child themselves. And so sometimes it's good to just have at least a momentary separation to allow that older child to just be a kid and say, you're not responsible for feeding everybody today. You're not responsible for making sure your little brother gets to school. You're not responsible, you know, to let that kid kind of help process what has happened to them.
And what is the website for people to go and find these abilities to become a mentor, to help sign up to be camp counselors, whenever that would be?
Right.
Where's that website?
So the first step in getting involved with ASK, whether or not it's mentoring or being a sibling volunteer or being a foster family, is to attend an ASK orientation. And these are free information meetings that are held all over the Valley every single month. And you don't have to RSVP. You basically just pick a date and time and show up at a time that's convenient for you. And that schedule is available on our website. And you just go to fostercareaz.org, and it will take you to the ASK site. And you can find the schedule of orientations there. That's always the first step. And it gives people the opportunity to learn a little bit more about children in care, a little bit more about our organization, and all the different ways that they could help.
Okay, so even upcoming events, you still have to go to that initial orientation?
Oh, so you know events
no.
are more my area.
Okay, there we go.
So that's a
there
different process. So we do several different drives throughout the year, and we also have our Ask Family Fun Walk that just took place in May. So we're so excited this year. You know, we've raised about $120,000, and so we're going
wow,
to be
congratulations.
Looking to top that for next year. Thank you very much. We're very excited. We've had great community support. But our project upcoming for the summertime is actually our Ask Backpack Drive. And I know that people aren't ready to think about the new school year because the old school year hasn't ended yet. But
it's right on the cusp.
It's exactly. It's our goal, really just as a sign of gratitude to all of our families, that every single child placed with an ASK foster family who is of school age gets a fully loaded, age-appropriate backpack so that they can enter school ready to learn. So we are looking for community partners right now to host their own backpack drives. And so we ask that people collect backpacks and school supplies, and hopefully, you know, we'll put those two things together, or they can just donate everything and we'll get volunteers to pack them all up. And we're looking to distribute about 700 backpacks to ASK children this year.
That's a lot. But I'm sure with, especially like you said, with that long timeline, hopefully it gets done. You can only hope, but.
Absolutely. Well, honestly, the community is so supportive and generous that I have no doubt that we'll be making our goal.
So coming from events like that, have you seen personally ASK benefit children, and have you seen them become success stories, or, you know, after they've gone through the programs?
So our goal is lifelong relationships for children. And sometimes in foster care, those relationships are preserved, and sometimes they only exist during the time that child is in care. And I would say any time a child who has suffered abuse, neglect, or abandonment is able to establish a caring, supportive relationship with a trusted adult, that's how we really define success. And so, of course, when a child leaves foster care, it's difficult for us to keep track of them directly. But what we are able to do is to stay in touch with our foster families who might have gone on to adopt. And since we've been around since 1988, we have literally watched children grow up and thrive and go on to college. And now we have some ASK families that are empty nesters who are looking to maybe come back and mentor, because suddenly those children they've been raising all these years have grown their wings and taken flight on their own. And those are real success stories too. So many children do not go on to college, and that's another difference that a family can make to support that child's education and to just help them understand that they can do it and to help them get there.
What would you say is a common theme for your work?
I would just say that the common theme to all of our work is the idea of relationship. That if you can give a child who has been through trauma a safe, secure, trusted relationship, that can positively impact every other aspect of that child's life. And so what we're really looking for, we work through our families, and our families are community volunteers. So we can't say how grateful we are for the families that do come forward. It's a difficult job, and they are the best hope that these children have to recover from what they have been through and to go on and come into their full potential, to develop the way that children should, and to really have a more positive life. So anybody who wants to become, you know, we always say too, once an ask family, always an ask family. And so if anybody wants to join our family, we really hope that you'll follow up and come see us.
That was very beautifully spoken. And thank you so much for coming on Community Circle.
Thank you so much for having us.
Circling the things that matter for you and your neighbors. Community Circle is a service of Sierra H Broadcasting.